Like
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mod State Podcast. As always, thanks for tuning in. And we appreciate your support internationally and domestically. Of course, it's wild times here in the United States. John's, he's away from the microphone, but we can expect him back shortly. So, that's horrible whistling. Anyway, again, head over to modstate.com. Tune in for more op-ed. I've been saying op-ed and opinion pieces, but they're the same thing. So I've been a dummy for the last close to 200 podcast episodes. So just opinion pieces. But for tonight, John and I are going to dive into some poll numbers that are out there. And, you know, poll numbers early, but we're 18 months away. Seems kind of crazy to start diving into these now. But, you know, at the end of the day, some of these could hold true if good old Biden is a flip-flop or flip-flop more or do something crazy like get in a tank and drive around, you know, it could hold. So it might be early, but there's, what, 26 contenders now? And we all know that they were just in Iowa, and Iowa is a good battleground state to start at, get the pulse of the campaign. And I don't know what else to talk about. That's it. Kind of boring. 18 months. We'll just pack up. We'll be back here in 2020. This will be our last podcast episode. And I just don't care anymore. I don't. It's just blood pressure gets up. And
Jesus Christ, man. You've been talking to me this whole time?
Oh. Hey, welcome back. Welcome to the show. No, we're recording. I was playing your character. And but no, I just did the intros and I was feeling frosty. And so I just started. I set the stage for this episode. So it's a completely different episode than what we talked about. So you're just going to have to drive on. We call it the mystery episode. And I'm just going to make it up
as we go. So it's like The Stranger.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just going to.
It's a Billy Joel song, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm not a Billy Joel fan by any means, but still, great track. You know, it was only number one in Japan.
Well, never mind.
I don't know if to congratulate him or not, but.
Well,
are you seriously recording?
Yeah, we're 2 minutes in. We're 3 minutes in, brother.
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. So I already prepped the listeners that we're going to, for better or for worse, we're going to talk about some poll numbers.
Until death do us part?
Yeah, until death do us part. We're going to talk about some poll numbers because it's always good. It's always a good predictor, these poll numbers, 18 months in advance.
You were talking about blood pressure a second ago.
I was, yeah.
You talking about mine?
No, what you didn't hear was me say, I'm just going to quit. I'm done. We'll see you in 18 months. And this stuff gets my blood pressure up. So
You are trying to get me to show up in Denver, aren't you?
I officially announced that this is our last episode. So, and no, folks, it's not our last episode by far.
Yeah, he really wants me to show up in Denver.
On a bike, train, bus, or flight, you'll be here, huh?
Don't put it past me to be on foot.
Oh, you forgot that one. I did forget that one.
Let me think about this. I've been known to do that before. It's like,
nah, don't.
Like, dude, you're in a suit. I'm like, so?
Don't sweat it. We're good.
I walked home. I couldn't get a ride from a surgery appointment in Kenner, which is the far western portion of the GNO. This was summer of 2017. I walked back to Houma Boulevard in Metairie, the place where you and I launched this podcast. It's a 6.4-mile walk.
After surgery?
In the summer?
After surgery?
No, it was a surgery consult. Oh. The point is...
Oh, don't put it past you. You said, don't put it past you.
Well, yeah, seriously. I mean, you never know, dude.
You don't. I won't. So this is not our last podcast episode. So
are you in league with a man?
No, don't worry about it.
They put you onto this?
Don't worry about it. All right. So, God help us. There's 1,000 candidates for the Democratic candidate for the president of the United States.
Are you running?
No. I might as well. I mean, yeah. Gosh, what more damage could I possibly do?
I was gonna say I turned 35 in July. I thought about it.
So what is it? 19 of the candidates showed up in Iowa over the weekend.
God. And don't forget, the Donald showed up, yesterday.
Yeah. And, Steve King, requested.
Steve King may as well show up.
Yeah, you're right. Steve King rather, excuse me, was denied access aboard Air Force One to fly back to Iowa. I was like, dude, what did you expect? I mean, I don't care what kind of alt-right weirdos you have in the administration. I'm not saying that there are. I'm just saying.
I think that is what you're saying.
The Stephen Miller types that.
They don't want Steve King.
Dude, they were like, no, dude. Nah, that's. You've been formally rejected. Like, absolutely not.
Steve, still rocking the white power. Jesus. Good for you, man.
Like, did you. Yeah. Hey, King, did you know what you said, like, just recently, right? You know?
Yeah, they don't want you, dude.
The merits of history class? Bro, just keep
say
that.
You're a Hitler youth.
Keep that in the back room with the cigar smoke and the whiskey, bro. Like, you don't.
My thing is, I'd be far more comfortable if you just go ahead and come out and say, look, I'm in league with David Duke. That's what I want. At least I would know then what I'm dealing with.
Well, I mean, what did
you... Would you rather deal with that?
Didn't he just win by like 5% margin or something like that? So that might work against him.
Yeah, the King's probably done. I mean, but hey, you know, how about Justin Amash? Like the cartoon that showed the Freedom Caucus tossing him off of the balcony saying, hey, anybody else want to speak freely?
Yeah, geez. Like coming out hot against Trump, buddy. Like, all right.
Friends like these.
Yeah. Well, anyway, at any rate, here we are. This is from fake news, CNN.com.
They got a soccer team now, 23.
Yeah, that's true. They do. They even got some to sit on the bench. So here we go. Let's just go ahead. This is a Quinnipiac University poll. So I quote. With the general election still more than a year away, former Vice President Joe Biden leads the pack, surprise, with the largest advantage over Trump. The poll shows 53% of voters said they would support Biden and 40% said Trump. Biden and Trump held side-by-side events in Iowa on Tuesday, both using their platforms to insult one another. Biden called Trump an existential threat to the country, and Trump called Biden a dummy. The gap is smaller, but still a distinct advantage for Senator Bernie Sanders, up 9 percentage points, Kamala Harris, plus 8, Elizabeth Warren, plus 7, and other candidates such as Cory Booker and Mayor Pete Buttigieg scrape by the margin of error, leading Trump by 5 percentage points. So, some more breakdowns here. Biden holds a 30-point lead among independents, 58% back him, 28% for Trump. Trump's best showing among independents in this poll is 34% against Warren. No challengers for Donald Trump, or there are, but whatever. And I think that's... they go on to say that polled in 2015, Biden still had a lead over Trump. And then, of course, they say, but the general election is still far away. And anywhere between 4 and 7% of registered voters say they weren't sure who they would vote for, depending on the matchup. Of note, a Fox News poll found similar results in mid-May when asking about the general election, with Biden leading Trump by 11 percentage points and Sanders leading the president by 5. So,
everybody feels really good about a candidate until they get in the booth.
Yeah, and...
time, too.
So here we are.
There's only two of those. Continue, but I'll tell you right now, there's only two of those names you mentioned on the Democratic side that stand a snowball's chance in hell of beating Donald Trump.
Number one's Biden. Number two.
You're not going to like it.
No, go ahead.
It's Bernie Sanders.
It's not that I don't like it. It's just.
Snowball's chance of beating him.
It just. Ugh.
Because here's the problem. You've got two. You've got three candidates. Actually running on candidate models running on the left. One is Joe Biden, who's running the pragmatist campaign, saying, look,
not Trump.
The Republican Party has in reality adapted to survival mode with Trump, which I think is largely fair. Sure, you've got that wing that's going to back him no matter what, But I would counter that that wing didn't exist before he ran, because a lot of them, like in places like Iowa, were Obama voters.
Yeah.
That's an anomaly, and Biden's tapped into something. He's preparing to lead the country post-Trump, okay? So you've got that pragmatist.
Well, yeah, post-Trump and not Trump. He doesn't need to run on platforms. He just needs to not be Trump.
And hey, we've got to work across the aisle, because he knows he's not going to have a supermajority.
No.
So, and he's running pragmatically in the fact that, again, I'll say this the third, fourth, fifth time on this podcast, 15% of the Democratic Party identifies as far left / progressive.
Mm-hmm.
The rest identify as liberal, like center left liberal, moderate, or conservative. Yep. That means this race to the leftward cliff is just that.
Yeah.
Okay, you still got to win a general election.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is best positioned to do that. The other candidate model you've got is the bona fides of Senator Sanders, who that man has not changed his positions since his hair had color in it. Okay, now how many politicians haven't changed their positions in the last 50 days? So I give credit where credit's due. I don't agree with all of it, but that's not the point. The man has principle, all right? He won't accept corporate donations. He wouldn't even let a benefit concert be played on his behalf in 2016 because he said, no, sorry, you guys are a corporation, which bands technically are. The other candidates all fit into one profile, regardless of who they are, and that is the progressives that want to out-progressive Bernie Sanders, okay? Kamala Harris isn't woke enough because she's married to a white man. Cory Booker isn't woke enough because he's not married. Okay? The rest, I mean, Mayor Pete may get somewhat of a pass for being white because he's gay. But do you see what I'm getting at here? I'm referring to that circular firing squad that Obama referred to. We're going to shoot each other down because none of us are... Since when is being, you know, white in this country a crime?
Yeah, so
you know, that's the problem they're gonna have. Guess what? You've got to then turn around and win a general election.
Yeah, and that's so you know, I look at a lot of news outlets. I mean, everywhere up until the you know Huffington Post, and then
look at Huffington Post and HuffPro. Be honest.
Not exclusively, but it's good to kind of get the pulse, right? Because I do the same thing on the conservative side as well, and. Dude,
you know a lot more about the conservative side than me.
The conservative side?
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
When's the last time I referred to a Fox News poll?
That's true. I guess my point is for a group of people, probably, you know, because you really kind of get into the HuffPo type of threads. And I mention them only because we're talking about left wing individuals. So,
yeah, because that's the only side that's up for grabs.
Yeah, so the...
Short of the removal, God forbid, of Trump from office, and I say that because you better think long and hard about who's going to be on the ticket.
I agree. So, for a outlet that has been so anti-Trump, it is almost as if the entire organization is hamstringing themselves because now it's anybody but Biden. To which I say, look at the polls.
Massive mistake.
What do you want?
Because you got to win a general election.
You have to win a general election.
Captive by 15% of your party.
I don't care how principled you are. Like you're going to see another 4 years of this man if you don't let off the Biden train or the Biden anti train, I guess, whatever you want to call it. And I think there's a lot of sort of moderate progressive. You kind of lumped people in there. There's the far left progressive, liberal, moderate, and then conservative.
They all want to be Bernie Sanders.
But it's not even, they're not even Bernie. They haven't really picked a side. That's the thing. It's just anybody but Biden.
They want to be progressives, okay?
But, and I get that. That's great in principle, but this would be different if the incumbent was Biden, but he's not. So if
they need to remember in places like Iowa and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, Trump won because of the switch of Obama voters.
Yeah.
Because of populist voters. So they'd better think long and hard before they go extremist. Because guess what? those same people, like the lady on CNN, who was an East Iowa Trump supporter. She said, "I don't care about the lies. I care about what's getting done. I'm voting for Trump."
Holy crap! Yeah, I saw that. But they
better think about that.
They literally said, "Like, I really don't care about his lies. Like, I'm voting for him."
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating, folks. And she ain't the only one.
No, not at all. And that's the other thing too about your sort of political ideology that I think we need to learn in this country, that yes, for example, let's pretend that Trump was Democratic or whatever, right? And he was pushing through, and you believe that climate change is a big deal, and it is. So let's pretend that Trump, the Democrat, lies more in a day than I do wash my hands.
Yeah.
If he's pushing through policies that I like in terms of climate change, I'm going to go ahead and say that you probably would be doing the same exact thing that Trump voter said. I really don't care. The guy's getting something done on climate. In her case, you know, I really don't care that he lies. He's getting something done on immigration or something, whatever it is. Or he's, well, that's a bad example. He's getting something done on China, you know, to which I say, all right, touche, right? Okay. Well, so the other thing is you have
like
to
the justifies the means.
Yeah. So the other
Machiavellian now.
Well, Machiavelli had some interesting points.
Well, I mean, are we not?
Yeah. So I just kind of posit that to folks who are, who just can't believe that. I can't believe what a loon, what an ignorant asshole. And I say, no, she likes what he's doing. So she's going to overlook that.
Evangelicals who will not waver from this man's side. But I'd be damned, Nate, if they'd vote for me for dog catcher.
Look.
Or do I exaggerate?
No. And regardless.
Turn on they won't turn on Donald Trump.
What we're really worried about is this in-between, right? And
I'm worried about a lot.
Well, yeah. And I can't say that. So I'm worried
about existentialism as it pertains to America.
I'm not worried. But I think there's that there's the case to be made that, look, the vast majority of people that will win this election for a Biden or whoever the Democratic candidate is are the same people that say, hey, look, I'm liberal or I'm progressive or I'm left-leaning. But when the ballot comes around here in Colorado and there's six measures on the ballot talking about tax increases, they pick two to increase. They're not going ahead because then they realize, like, oh, shit. Really? There's going to be a lot of tax increases. Like, I only make so much. What the per capita income in the United States is like
somebody else's money,
right? The per capita income in the United States is only like $59,000. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, well, I don't know how liberal I'm really feeling right now. that's a lot.
Seriously.
That's a lot of money. Like parks, really? Gosh.
And do you really feel like you're getting your money's worth out of government?
You know, that's an interesting thing. It's probably going to segue us away here. It's true.
Harken back to the millennial poll we've talked about before. Millennials are duplicitous in a number of areas, and I think that's the kindest term I can puke out for us right now. But we want, by majority, we want government to do more, but spend less.
Yeah.
And I'm going, honey, baby, it just don't work that way.
No, not at all.
Only in the classroom.
And I think, ultimately, there's some truth to that I think maybe it's people like me, right? Maybe I just describe myself. And where the bottom line is, you say, how much money can I give away in taxes? Where do I get the benefit here? Because I don't feel like
Amtrak.
Oh yeah, that's great. So again, there's a lot of, and we're going to get more as the next kind of 18 months rolls through here. On what these individuals' platforms are. You know, free education, stuff like that. Now, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
I love the word free.
But, you know, at the end of the day...
somebody's paying for it.
At the end of the day, I would like to see what that education thing looks like because I would hate to see a bubble happen with the amount of debt that's amassed by individuals going to college. I think it's upwards of $1 trillion plus right now.
Yeah, you're too late.
And we could be.
I mean, short of a bailout of federal student loan debt, you're too late.
Now, wouldn't that be just hear me out on this one. So I do agree, whether you like it or not, there's going to be people out here that probably hate me for this. The banks, well, two banks went under, huge banks went under in the financial crisis. However, because of the intertwined nature of the financial sector, the banks were too big to fail. And that, and it had to happen whether you like it or not. It had to happen. Now, auto companies, little harder to bite off and chew on that one. However, would it be crazy if there was an impending education debt bubble that for once the taxpayer themselves would get bailed out? I mean, is that a crazy ask? I mean, it basically because the entire...
Relatively speaking, no.
No, it's not a crazy ask. I mean...
We bailed out New York City in the 1970s.
A little first
major federal bailout.
A little quantitative easing for the taxpayer or for the... I mean, the reality is if you want to make above that per capita income of $59,000, you got to get a four-year degree. You have to. If you want to...
I mean, not everybody's like me and capable of... So not everybody, I'm sorry, is cut out of being in the military, much less being in the infantry, okay?
No, absolutely not.
Or serving in Bethesda, whatever.
And you can't you can't ask people to go do construction, which make great money. You can't ask people to go be in trades. You can't ask everybody to do that. And so I think...
People have to borrow. They don't have the GI Bill, or they don't have this, that, or the other.
I mean, I would argue, like, hey, it's not an insane progressive policy that we do an education debt bailout when did the same thing.
Much more succinctly than that. It doesn't have to be argued as progressive.
No, I just think it's like, look, if we don't want a bubble, we can't just bail people out. You have to fix the system, which we did not do. Well, we sort of did with some leveraging and stuff like that with the banks.
One of the first things that needs to happen is this business of going to school for the first 2 years of your bachelor's to study things that have nothing to do with your degree. Why I had to take biology lab 1 and 2 as an economics major is anybody's guess. Oh. College algebra, I get, because I'm sorry, everybody needs to know how to do a certain amount of, and yes, that is elementary math.
So you had to do biology for an econ degree?
It's Nate. Oh my gosh, Nate. Biology 1 and 2 and lab 1 and 2 is general ed.
Yeah. I mean, I guess.
That's part of the problem right there is a bachelor's needs to be cut to 3 years tops, not 4.
Well, and that, I think there's reform there that I think is obvious. Well, I mean,
that's who the first people lining up against me are, is the teachers union. Because it's all about money.
Well, yeah, but beyond the teachers' union, it's the fat of education, the administration, it's the online platforms, etc., that just drive up prices. But anyway, I think we're getting away from the point here with polls and everything. But I'll be curious to see where we get separated here in terms of these candidates proposing things like this. Because I'll be honest with you. Maybe there's who knows how many independent millennials are out there, but at the end of the day, if
they're all woke, but none of them are awake.
God, man, you just hate millennials.
Well, they've been so good to me.
Okay, fair enough.
So good to this country.
But yeah, at the end of the day, I think I'll be curious to see. I think you can pretty much dictate where Biden will stand on most things. I mean, everyone, you'll pretty much know where they stand. It's who runs the better campaign at the end of the day. The other thing that I am curious about, and the one thing that I like to think about, one thing we don't do in the United States is play long ball. That's China does an amazing job of playing long ball. Like, they're literally like, all right, I'll just, what's that?
They can afford to do that. They've got a monopoly.
That's true.
In government.
Now, what I look at in the long game is like, listen, let's just pretend for a second that you're liberal. Not you, but the proverbial you is liberal. We had 8 years of Obama.
Liberal.
So we had 8 years of Obama. All right, great. We're going the right direction. Gay marriage. We're moving towards some other good stuff.
We caught the gay.
And then, boom, we get Trump. Wow, damn. Like, man, we just took a step back. So by putting a Biden, someone who can... by all measures right now on polls, beat Trump, put him back. We sort of reset the balance. So how is it that we would go from someone like him to then insert said like democratic socialist Bernie Sanders? Like, why don't we just let politics catch up at the rate that politics catches up to? Politics will never catch up as quickly with culture. And it's just the end of the day. I mean, look at if politics moved at the same speed of culture, we would have legal weed by now. That's just
I think the country is worse off by Senator Sanders not being taken seriously.
You think?
I do, because, you know, on the Republican side, and I'm a Nixon Republican, okay, meaning I'm very much alone in the room. On the Republican side, socialism is bad unless it's corporate socialism. It's okay with socialist programs that benefit corporations. Whereas Senator Sanders is essentially, ironically, saying the same thing that Mitt Romney said in 2012 when he said, look, the very poor, he phrased it poorly in 2012, poor don't concern me, but they don't need me. We've got programs for the extremely poor. The very rich don't need me. The middle class are who needs me. The difference is Senator Sanders actually has the meat of his entire career dedicated to the middle class. And anybody that doesn't like that, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They can check it out. You don't have to agree with him. I'm not saying I agree with him. I respect his principles, and I think the country is worse off for his platform not being taken seriously for the preponderance of debate. I think we're less intellectually healthy not having him being taken seriously. I hope he is, simply, if nothing else, I'd like to see him in it to the very end with Biden to push the race, okay?
Sure.
I get the feeling the DNC is going to steal it from Sanders fair and square like they did last time.
You think Warren goes number two?
I don't think it really matters. Sort of him self-destructing, Biden's going to get it. Because I think the DNC is realizing, okay, just like the majority of their caucus, unbeknownst to most of America, ding, 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 newsflash, over 50% of the Democratic Party caucus in Washington does not want to impeach the president.
Yeah.
Because it's bad politics and it's not pragmatic. Well, 85% of the Democratic Party does not associate with far-left progressive dogma. Senator Sanders is the only one with a progressive agenda that has the capability of arguing it in a pragmatic, hey, look, I'm not talking about... He even had to defend himself recently about becoming a millionaire. And this was on CNBC. He said, look, so I wrote a couple of best-selling books. You write a best-selling book, and you, too, can become financially successful. I'm not talking about punishing success. Sanders actually has a pragmatic side to his progressive message, whereas the rest of them, it's like, let's see who can outwoke each other. Well, he's gay, so he's okay. She's black, but she's married to a white man. He's black, but he's not married at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, it's like this nonstop litmus test that at the end of the day, okay, so what the hell do you have to say to the country?
Yeah, well, it's dangerous identity politics is what it really is.
I guess Sanders gets a certain pass because he's Jewish, but even to the Clinton folks, that wasn't good enough.
And I think Sanders, by all means, is sort of like the OG of this progressive movement. So he gets that pass there, too.
And rightfully so.
And he looks like Grandpa.
The man, for God's sake, he's getting criticized for becoming a millionaire. Okay, it took him until he was 78.
But I think that's important for, like you said, I think it's important for the society to hear that
we're going to punish. It's a crime to be financially successful.
Yeah, that someone... Someone who holds these fairly progressive viewpoints for a long time says, look, yes, I may be democratic socialist and we hate the word socialist, but I'm not against people being successful. I mean, there's really what it is if you were to reshape it to like moving away from crony capitalism and moving to the purest form of capitalism that we had or something closer to it.
Nowadays, they say they hate capitalism. No, you don't know what capitalism is. You hate crony capitalism. Well, guess what? So do I. I'm a Nixon Rockefeller Republican. I'm very alone in the room, but I'm a disciple of the president who he could have vetoed the EPA coming into law. He could have vetoed OSHA into coming into law. He could have vetoed the Philadelphia Plan, which is the most prominent modern example we still have of affirmative action. He set a poke on the tapes in support of the Roe v. Wade decision in 1973. I mean, do I need to continue? This man was not a social conservative. And I'm damn proud of that. So I'm saying this, okay, I don't have a dog in the fight on the on the Democratic side, I guess you could say it would be Biden, except I don't trust him. Okay. I don't agree with Sanders as far as his overall platform, but based on his character, I trust him.
Yeah.
He's got the bona fides. He stayed the same for half a century. And I don't mean any disrespect when I say that.
No,
I think the DNC and the party overall, the country in its whole, is worse, is lessened by him not going deep into this race, if not receiving the nomination.
Interesting.
That's my tip of the hat to Senator Sanders.
Well, clearly, I quite frankly, we talk enough per week and every day that there's rarely anything that really surprises me. However, I'm not think you off your rocker type surprise, but just surprised that kind of happened, that monologue there. But
I have a massive sense of respect for any politician who sticks by their bona fides, their principles, for decades on end when most can't be bothered to do so for 1 year on end.
I like it. Well, hey, my friend, we're at 30 minutes, and my voice is going out.
Yeah, you and me both. All of a sudden, it's like, dude, we gotta get better. We gotta get well.
Well, here's the thing. We had like a 4 hour plus powwow meeting down at the clinic today, and I drove quite a bit of the talking points, so it doesn't matter.
I got you down on the phone for 2 hours prior to this. So.
Well, my day was better than yours, my friend.
Yes, it was. But hopefully our year will be better. And you know what? Thank you. Quick tip of the hat to on the editorial side. We've had a lot of listeners from Deutschland, or readers from Deutschland, and the Russian Federation. Thank you for your feedback. And
be careful in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, thank you. And again, to our listeners in the podcast who from and I hate it. I missed any international locales here, but from Jamaica to the Middle East. To the Russian Federation, just all over. We've had it. New Zealand again. Some of your folks probably.
Possibly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Back, regardless of our my lunacy.
No, it's amazing that we're able to bring our ridiculous monologues and archived records of discussion all over the world. But you know, I don't think there's any other way that I possibly could do that, or we could do that. And I'm happy to spread the conversation wherever it goes.
Yeah, it's been a blast. It's great to see this go forward, and the success is a holistic one, and seeing this slowly but surely creep into the industry. I think the industry as a whole, the media, is better off. If you check out our interview that we did with the founder of Is It Just Us, I mean every word of the dialogue that I had with him. And because one day, whether it's a year from now or 20 years from now or a century from now, when my name is nothing more than on a masthead, you know, they may look back and say, man, this guy was nuts. But call me sincere. It's a holistic, yeah, I need to pay off some debts. I need to, you know, like to be a little more financially secure. But it's really about us. And it's because there's other ways. I mean, with an economics degree and you, God knows, getting an MBA and being a BSN, we could make a lot more money personally elsewhere. But I think this time, for such time as this, we're needed, and we're happy that we've had some folks say, hey, yeah, we like unorthodox that you are. We like, you know, keep it up. So Indeed. Thank you.
Indeed. Well, my friend, until next time.
Au revoir.
We'll see you.